Lord, help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 558. Sweet the name of Christ must be, from and to eternity, for it pleased the Father well, fullness all in Christ should dwell. Hymn 558. compulsory for our instruction from the Word of God, or to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. The seventh chapter in the Deuteronomy. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee, until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be accursed, thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. May the Lord give that understanding in his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O thou who sittest upon the throne, who judgest among the nations, who, Lord, discerneth thoughts and hearts, do help us now to come and approach unto thee. Oh, that we may have, Lord, an understanding of the greatness of God and his glory. And that we may, Lord, perceive too, oh, how we are nothing. Yea, what one of old has said, who felt himself to be but dust and ashes. Lord, we come like that. We are nothing better. But all we hope, Lord, that here tonight there may be those hearts who in their need, in their distress, may so prevail upon thee, may move thine heart toward them, and that we may experience then, Lord, something of a blessing, the blessing of thy word. That thou, O God, wilt send thy word this night, even to us. That thou wilt clothe it with power. And, O, do grant that the word of God this night may have free course. O, may there be that entrance of thy word into many a heart. And we pray, Lord, that we may prove something too. Of when that word enters, light shines in the soul. O, Lord, come to us now. Oh, we do need, Lord, that understanding from on high. For we are by nature carnal, dark and foolish. Oh, Lord, how deceitful is our frame. How dangerous is our very state. And, Lord, it is made more so by our own ignorance. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt now help us then to come and draw nigh, to fall at thy feet. Oh, wilt thou be pleased, Lord, this evening, to show unto us something of those secret things that belong unto thee, that thou dost reserve for them that love thee. Oh, may there be, Lord, some here that tonight who are favoured to come and sit in those high places, and there, Lord, to experience something too of the Lord unfolding something of the mysteries of his grace, the beauties of his person. Oh, that there might be, Lord, even something of that in our midst here tonight. And may there be souls that are attracted, drawn as the bee to the honey. May, Lord, soul made willing in the day of thy power. Oh, help, Lord, such souls. Be gracious unto them. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt so give such discoveries of thyself that our eyes might be so dimmed to the world, that we might be blinded to all that's in it, save only to the glory of Christ, to his beauty and wonder. Oh, that we may then, Lord, feel something of our hearts going out with humble petitions, earnest longings, that we might know thee more. Oh, to be found in thee, to taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Oh, we long, Lord, to be graciously built up in thy most holy faith. We do pray, Lord, that we may know something of the Spirit's sweet indictings. Oh, to feel and know, Lord, something of our hearts and souls, truly being drawn after thee. Oh, come then unto us this night. Oh, Lord, we do pray that there might be also something of thy word that may enter into our heart. Thy word, Lord, that may penetrate into the deeper crevices there. And that by thy word we may be given, Lord, to know truth, be built up in it. Oh, we would hold it fast. We need grace, Lord, that we may rightly so esteem thy word more than our necessary food, that we might prize, Lord, something of that truth. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt discover to us more of that truth. Oh, that we may, Lord, feed upon it. We read in thy word of those whom thou wilt cause to feed in high places. Lord, we cannot fully grasp all the high places, but we would humbly ask that we might be led there to feed, that we may have that hunger for such feeding, that longing, that desire, that earnest prayer and supplication. Oh, come, Lord, unto us then and bless. We do pray that thou wilt remove far from us the things of time and sense, the vanities of this world, the pleasures that our hearts by nature gravitate to. We need grace, Lord, to come and confess it before thee. But oh, to humbly pray that we may know something too of those sweet drawings, that we might be raised up. Thou hast said to thy church of old, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak it yet again unto many a soul, and make them to know and to feel something of its power. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt so then instruct us. Oh, we do thank thee for thy mercies, which hath spared our lives, and brought us again into thy courts. And while, Lord, we are favoured to come, oh, we would not, Lord, be forgetful of the need of one more to come. Except the Lord build the house, except the Lord come. Lord, how we feel the need that more and more. We need it, Lord, day by day, but we need it in thy house. Oh, that we may have the blessed effect of it. Oh, may we prove, Lord, something of the sweetness of it, that we could say, in the end, that the Lord was there. And may it be, Lord, that many a heart may be brought to that, that they might bear witness and testimony to that glorious truth. He is there. We read of thy people of old that their enemies had to come and acknowledge that the Lord was among them. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may know that. Now then, help. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remove every distracting thought. For thou knowest, Lord, with many of the friends, they have been engaged in the daily activities and their business concerns. And many things, Lord, press upon such. And so often, Lord, these things, as it were, take such a hold, and we cannot shut them off. Lord, be very gracious then. Do have compassion. And we do pray that thou wilt then, Lord, come. And as in a moment, may there be, Lord, something of the drawing of the heart away. Or we read in thy word again of thy people who in their going unto thee shall be like the chariots of Amminadab. What a movement. A movement of as one. A movement, Lord, of in strong desires. Oh, come, Lord, unto us in that way. And help us. Oh, remember young and old. For, Lord, thou knowest how in each case there are things which one might seem so hard, so impossible. But show, Lord, even to such this evening, there's nothing impossible with God. Oh, we bless thee, Lord. Yes, we read that word, we hear that word, we even sing of it. But we want, Lord, to prove it. We want the sweet experience of it. And to be able to say, Lord, from the very depths of our own soul, that there is nothing impossible with thee. For we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt so come this night and look upon that soul who may even now be so harassed, be so pressed down, so struggling with the power of the enemy, the deceiver of souls, he who hates the brethren, he who would destroy the believers. Wilt thou, Lord, look upon such who feel to be in that place and feel themselves, Lord, to be sinking, overcome? Wilt thou yet appear, stand at the right hand? And, O Lord, grant that they may know something too of the evil one being dismissed. Like those of Legion who were commanded to go out of him. O Lord, for such a time when the devil's commanded to leave us, to go out. Then, Lord, we like that dear man will be found sitting at thy feet. Then, Lord, our meditation of thee will be sweet. Oh, we pray that thou wilt now perform it for thy name's sake. Oh, remember yet, Lord, the many concerns. Concerns in each family. And thou knowest all those things which perhaps none other know. But the family know. They know their own case. The heart knoweth its own bitterness. Lord, thou knowest it. And we do pray that thou wilt help and do undertake. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt remember, even of our youth, those who have their hard causes, their matters, who keep laying them before thee and praying that thou wilt remember them. Wilt thou now draw near, Lord? Oh, may this that time to favour come. May it please you to hasten it, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that they may soon see that the Lord God, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what they can ask or think. So, Lord, be gracious unto them. We do pray that they remember various ones in their afflictions. Help them, Lord. Do yet uphold. Sanctify it to them. Bless them indeed. Oh, may they find, Lord, as the body at times is very weak, they might know something of the strengthening of their souls. Oh, that they might prove, Lord, something of their hearts being lifted up, drawn out unto thee. Give unto them strength for the day. We do thank Thee for a measure of mercy granted unto the friend in hospital, for what we, Lord, would call indeed some good news. And yet we know, Lord, that things still are very solemn. But we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt go on to be gracious. Bless all the means that are used for the restoring of the body. But, oh, do protect how vulnerable she is. We do pray, oh Lord, that Thou wilt be that shield round about her. That Thou, oh Lord, wilt be the keeper of the house in every way. And keep her in her soul. And bless her then. And help her. Her husband too, in all their path and their need. And may it be, Lord, that they may come into that wealthy place. Oh Lord, it's a place only Thou canst bring to. Then hear us, Lord, in all Thy loving kindness and mercies. Accept our thank offerings for what Thou hast done. But oh Lord, yet in the many other needs, go on also. And grant, Lord, Thy mercies there. So, Lord, we come to Thee. And what can we say, Lord? Indeed, it is a wonder that we are not all dead. When we consider our sin and all of our shortcomings, we marvel, Lord, at such patience, forbearance, mercies that Thou indeed hast shown. May we know something too of the goodness of the Lord leading us to repentance. Oh, remember us then. Remember still the nation and what seems ought to be things going from bad to worse. Oh Lord, what chaos and destruction and evil. And Lord, what little opposition. Oh, we marvel, Lord, at how things have fallen away. And what can we say? We do pray that Thou wilt be pleased yet in mercy to restore order and peace if it could please Thee. Oh, help us, Lord. And do direct the leaders. Give unto them understanding. Oh, they need much help, Lord. Oh, may they be helped, Lord, to be faithful and strong. Oh, remember them. We do pray that Thou wilt now, Lord, accept then our petitions. Oh, forgive now every sin and receive us for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us continue by singing hymn number 557. 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth, and grace, with strength and righteousness. Hymn 557. seeking the Lord's gracious help. I direct your thoughts this evening over to Psalm 76, reading verse 1. Psalm 76, the first verse. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. We have throughout God's word a declaration that is given to his people, such as in Isaiah 40, there is that word there, behold thy God. Speaking to a certain people, a definite people, behold thy God. We have in Psalm 48 something of that same truth. When after the whole psalm comes to its completion, and they have heard of all that God had done for Israel, then the psalmist concludes with that word, this God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. Oh, it's a wonderful thing if God is known amongst us as that God who is our guide. That God who is our teacher. In Judah, God is known. He's known for certain things, specific things, blessed things. But oh, to be amongst that people, of whom it is said that God is known among them. When again we think of that beautiful word, God is in, the Lord God Almighty is in the midst of thee. When you say, friend, if God is in the midst, he must be known. We can hardly fathom any place where God is in the midst and the people not know it. Not like the church of Laodicea when God was on the outside. They didn't know that. But oh, when the Lord is amongst his people. Oh, what blessings will be found and experienced to no one when God is there. So it must be. But oh, in these words of our text this evening, what heavenly meaning, what precious truth we find in them. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. It's one of these little psalms of Asaph that we perhaps pay little attention to. But yet you see, dear friend, there are great things that are brought forth in it. Mighty truths. We twice have in this short little psalm that little word Selah at the end of certain verses, meaning stop and pause, consider, lay to heart. So how important it is then when we have such words and such truths that are then expressed in the language of the psalm. Well, let's come, as God may help us, to consider this evening something of what is found in our text. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. We might ask the question, first of all, how is this knowledge of God obtained? When I say the knowledge of God, that God is so known as expressed here in the language of our text. And then, to consider as well, what this knowledge produces. For indeed, if there is something of this knowledge given to any people, there will be something that will be evidence of it. Thirdly, we would consider in what way God is known in Judah. For there are specific things that he must be known in Judah. And then lastly, to see something of that name that is so great. His name is great in Israel. Well, there's a lot in this little text, but may God help us in our meditation. In Judah is God known, but known how? You see, friend, there are many things, many ways in which people come to some knowledge of God. But in many cases, that knowledge is faulty. That knowledge doesn't come to the real point. Sometimes it's spoken of this, that we may be taught of God after the precepts of men. There's nothing wrong with the precepts of men. When we instruct our children in the Sabbath school, and we hope also in the services of His house, that's after precepts of men. But we do pray that they might be taught of God. What a difference it makes. I believe I could say, dear friend, I, as much as anybody, have known something of being taught after the precept of men. Being brought up from a child in the Sabbath school. Brought to the house of God in nearly all the services. And while indeed I was thankful for the teaching of godly Sunday school teachers and pastors, yet, in the end, that could not save me. We need much more than being taught that knowledge of God after the precept of men. And may it be that tonight there might be also an examining of our hearts on that matter. There are so many, you know, that's their whole religion. Because this man has said something or that man has said something, and they hold to that because they esteem those certain characters. But they never truly learned it from God Himself. In Judah, God is known. But then not only is it in that way that God is known. We might look at professors. Yes, they have some knowledge of God. It's a strained knowledge of God, to be sure. And oh, friend, sometimes their knowledge rises to great heights. You may at times even be very jealous of the knowledge of certain professors of religion. And yet, dear friend, we might, with all that we hear of them, come so short in this knowledge of God. But let's come to the real point tonight. In what way do we obtain this knowledge of God? This knowledge that is so essential, so vital. A knowledge by which we will be blessed then with that divine life. Well, there is a knowledge of God that we receive by His law. By His law. And what a knowledge the law conveys to us of God. It shows unto us something of His real nature. His perfection, His holiness, and what a revelation the law makes of that. Friend, the law is so vital and necessary, even in the experience of God's people. Paul speaking of the law, it is a schoolmaster. You know what a schoolmaster's for? To instruct, to teach those important things. Yeah, oh dear friend, the law has its purpose in that. But you see, the law in the end, while it gives us such a view of God, such a picture of God, an understanding of God in His greatness and holiness, it also will show unto us that which is so lacking in us. That wherein we have come short of the glory of that God that the law sets forth. And oh, dear friend, while the law shows us how far short we've come of that glory, It can do nothing to bring us into that glory. Nothing. There the law is impotent. There the law is weak. Paul writing again to the Romans, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, our carnal flesh, God sending forth His Son in the likeness of flesh, in the likeness of His people. Oh, if in here is something of that knowledge of God that's imparted unto poor sinners. But then, again, then also, God is made known by the Holy Ghost. Oh, dear friend, that is most vital. To know something of the blessed Spirit who takes a poor sinner in hand and will show unto him those things of God. What God is, He makes God known. And those of you tonight who have known something of the Spirit's work, oh, it might be just but very small yet. You may be wonder if you've known anything of it at all. The Lord help you to consider. Even that little. Don't despise that little. For where there is something of God's revelation to the soul, in whatever small way it begins, dear friend, it will increase. It must. Oh, this is that knowledge of God. In Judah, God is known. Now let's pass on to consider secondly what this knowledge produces. For the knowledge of God will produce, it will have an effect in the hearts of those where it is given. First of all, oh, dear friend, there will be such reverence. Where this knowledge of God is granted and imparted, that soul will be brought to have such a high esteem, such deep reverence of Almighty God. He will revere God in His person, God in His Word. He will revere God wherever he may have a glimpse of the Almighty. Oh, this is one effect. And how different, I believe, it's something that the soul that has only but a little knowledge of God will know something of reverence. Real reverence. If indeed there's lightness, foolishness in any of your thinking regarding Almighty God, dear friend, God has not been known yet. Be sure of that. And that is why we do contend so earnestly as well that where there is lightness in the preaching, which is so much today, and sometimes foolishness, there's not reverence, there's not that knowledge of God. In Judah, God is no one. Oh, when I think, dear friend, of those times when God appeared unto His people. We go back to when Moses and the children of Israel were journeying in the wilderness. And God appeared over that tabernacle. He came down in the Shekinah glory. And what do we read of the people? They all fell down before Almighty God. Reverence was manifested. In Judah, God is no one. But then secondly, there will also be a fear of Him. A healthy fear. a living fear, a godly fear, a holy fear of this God. When God is known, dear friend, there must be such a fear. The old writers used to speak of that filial fear. But oh, there is this fear. It's a fear that brings the soul not to Him, not drives the fear of Him away. You know, when we have a fear of something, we're driven away from it. But not this fear. Oh, this is a fear that draws the soul unto Him. It has a powerful effect in that. There's a strange, mysterious force in that fear that draws the soul near to God. Oh, this is God being made known unto the soul. God in Judah is God known. But then, when God is known, it will be witnessed, borne witness with this. There will be a love to Him. And what a love. You see, different, God is love. And when He's rightly known, there can be nothing but love to Him. Oh, to really feel it. And not to be carried away with something of a sensual feeling in our own bosom. You know, different, we can have a love to all kinds of things, really. But oh, to love God for who He is, for what He is. Do you love Him because of His holiness? Do you love Him because of His perfection? Do you love Him because of His light? Oh, to love Him. That will be one of the vital effects when God is known. It must be love. There must be that drawing of the soul in love unto Him. You dear children, you know what a magnet is. And if you have some graphite or some pieces of metal, and you just start to slowly move that magnet toward them, it doesn't have to touch them at all. It will soon, by its force, magnetic force, it draws those metals to the magnet. And that's what it is with Almighty God. Oh, when He's known, He draws these souls to Him. We sometimes sing that beautiful hymn, Jesus draws the chosen race by His sweet, resistless grace, causing them to hear His call and before His feet to fall. In Judah, God is known. But then there's another effect. When God is really known, dear friend, the soul will find such strong desires after Him. Say the bride in the Song of Solomon, God had been made known to her. When she came with that word, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou dwellest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Oh, her desire was to be one amongst them. Why should I be as one that turneth aside from the flocks of thy companions? Oh, different, her desire was to be found with them. That desire was so strong in her heart. And oh, it's something that I believe every living soul will know in some measure. They will feel that desire to be found where God's people are found. Amongst them. But not only that. See that desire of hers, how it was increased. When the Lord put His hand by the hold of the door to arouse her from her bed, from her lethargy and carelessness. Then, oh, how she rose up and went after. What before to her was so hard to do. How shall I put on my coat. How shall I defile my feet again after I've washed them? Oh, she had her excuses. But once her soul was drawn, her beloved had been made known to her. It was him. And she knew it. And she would go. Oh, the effect of that. That wonderful desire that the soul has after him then. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Oh, if you'll have many a desire. Mary had that desire to come and sit at his feet and hear his word. Oh, the scriptures are full of those whose desires were unto him, because he was known of them. In Judah, God is known. God is known. And I do want to come now to consider different that wonderful aspect of it in Judah. He is no one. What are we to understand by Judah? In Judah, God is no one. Well, different so many places in God's Word, there is so much teaching. When we think of this Judah, we must go back to what we first read of Judah in that promise of Jacob. Judah, thou art he whom his brethren will praise. And why so? Because out of thee shall come forth him that shall be ruler over my people. In Judah would be that one who would, that Shiloh. And unto him shall all the gathering of the people be. Oh, he was in Judah. In Judah, God is no one. Oh, different, we see here Jesus, Judah's greater son. Oh, yes, different, David was in Judah. But there was someone far greater than David yet in Judah. And so now God uses this term here. Asa is directed to use it by the Spirit of God. In Judah, God is no one. But you see, different, to me it speaks of this too. Judah represents here the church. The people of God, the body of believers. Souls who are blessed with the knowledge of God. In Judah, God is no one. No, he's no one by certain things. First, he's known by the divine favor that he bestows. Oh, different, when that favor of God is granted to any soul, that soul then knows God has been with him. God has drawn near. That divine favor is so wonderful. The divine favor is so sweet. The soul, when experiencing it, finds his heart taken up. His heart, as it were, is wholly consumed with that favor of God then. You remember, I think it was back earlier in this year, we spoke from that word. Remember me, O God, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Oh, with this favor. No different, this is a favor that living souls want. To know something of God's blessing, what a favor that is. To know something of God's sweet pardon, there's no greater favor than that. While speaking to our friend this morning in the hospital, she called me very early. And we were speaking about what God had done thus far in answering prayer. And I mentioned to her, I said, oh, but you need now that double portion. I said, oh, what you need is the forgiveness of sins. And she answered back, she said, that would be everything. And it is so. It's a favor. No greater favor than that. And oh, different, when the Lord gives a sweet sense of pardon, that soul knows something of God. In Judah, God is no one. Those are the souls that will experience that pardon and the forgiveness of their sins. To know it in its power. There are so many, you know, who take up the God's word and they read of how the Lord forgave the sins of this one or that one, and oh, they think it's so beautiful. And you know, we can read that and we can begin to think upon it and we can get in our mind, well, we know something of that perhaps then, and yet we're lacking the wonderful power and the application of it. Oh, different, I tell you, I know what I'm talking about in this. Oh, when the Lord comes with that power and forgiveness, how the soul then is lifted up. The divine favor of God is his portion then. He delights in that. Oh, he'll walk in it. He rejoices in it. Oh, different, if ever the soul rejoices, it does then. It cannot do anything but. Then the heart is free, blessedly free, free from guilt, from condemnation, free from, at that moment, any sin. Oh, when the Lord is pardoned and forgiven. When Hezekiah experienced that just a little, how his heart was so full. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. In Judah, God is known. But then, God is known for something else in Judah. In that chapter which we've already quoted some things out of already this evening, chapter 48, we find there that we have this beautiful word. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now, the friend in Judah, God is known for a refuge. And a sacred refuge. A secret refuge. A holy refuge. A refuge that's sure and sweet and nigh. A hiding place, if you will. But in Judah, in the church, he's known as a refuge there. Know how wonderful too when a poor sinner is favored to flee to that refuge. In another place David said, I flee unto thee to hide me. Oh, the refuge. That hiding place. Ah, God is known in Judah as such a place. And oh, and he does say to his people many a time in their distress, come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, shut thy doors about thee, until these calamities be overpassed. Oh, the hiding place. This is what God is known for in Judah. And oh, think of it so, in the day of God's wrath, he will be known for it then. In the great day of days, when judgments will be poured forth, when the ungodly will flee from him, oh, then to have a refuge in this God of Judah. To know that he is your refuge. Again, in just a chapter before, or two chapters before, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, these times when God's people come to know him as that refuge. You take Psalm 18. There again, many times in that chapter, God is brought forth as a refuge for his people. Oh, this refuge of God. That, dear friend, is when God is known in Judah. When his people hide themselves there, betake themselves to it. In Judah, God is no one. You know, different when then the enemy comes in like a flood, then God will be a refuge for poor needy souls. And God will be no one as such then. Oh, may God bring us into a little of this. This glorious truth. There's another word comes to my mind, and much later psalm, Psalm 147, where we have this word. Here again, this is what God is known for, dear friend, for his gracious dealings. He hath not dealt so with any nation. Mark that. Now, the psalmist looks at the nations all around, the ungodly nations. And you know, Judah was surrounded with ungodly nations, with enemies. He hath not dealt so with any nation, with all the other nations. And that, dear friends, what's so wonderful about this text tonight, there is but one place that God is known. It's in Judah. No other place. Oh, dear friend, here is something so sacred. But oh, to be one of those in Judah that will know this God there. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. No, dear friend, this is a truth. Oh, to see it, to understand. If God is known in Judah, he will be known by his judgments. Oh, dear friend, if he's known in your heart and mine, he will be known by his judgments. He will judge us. He will bring judgments. He will afflict. He is known by it. And he's known as the God of such. Oh, remember that word of exhortation to the Hebrews. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Oh, see it here in this word this evening then. He hath not dealt with any nation, so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. It was said of Moab. Moab was never emptied from vessel to vessel. Oh, Moab looked at the Israelites who were always being emptied. And Moab thought that God was judging them, and he was. But he did so in love and in mercy and compassion. He was known among them as that God of judgment. Oh, is he known among us like that? God is known in these things, precious things. You remember how he was made known to Israel again in the day of Elijah, I should say. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And oh, dear friend, God still answers by fire. The fire of his word. Oh, he answers by it. The fire of his spirit. Oh, is not his spirit like a fire within the souls of his dear people? In Judah, God is known. Oh, to have something of this truth then brought down into our heart. But then again, God is known in Judah in this, by his gospel. Oh, even when we think of this God in the gospel, is he might not known there? When that gospel is made over to our soul, when that gospel is made so applicable to our case, when that gospel comes with its power and its freeness even to us, God is known in the gospel then. And oh, dear soul, if there's been anything of that in your life, when at some time or another something of the gospel has reached down to you and entered in your heart, God is known. And that too. Oh, these are wonderful things in which God is known in Judah, to be sure. And God reveals it. Oh, when we think, dear friend, just in these things, by his works, Oh, look at all the mighty works of God. Is he not known by the power of his works? To be sure. Oh, when we think of God's providence, is he not known by the working of his providence, the authority of his providence? God is known in Judah by that. When we think of his wisdom, is he not known in Judah by his wisdom and the bounty of it? Oh, the wonder of that wisdom of God when he displays it. God is known by the person of the Savior. Oh, is he not known there in Judah? As the God of all grace, the God of mercy. God is known in Judah then. I must hasten to the last point. His name is great in Israel. Now, these two thoughts together, dear friend, they are two twins, really. Two heavenly companions. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. Now, his name is himself. We're not speaking of something separate here. Whenever we hear his name, it's him. His name, he has many names. And he's known by those names. And every one of those names is made great. They're made great in the heart of poor sinners. They're made great in the experience of needy souls. That name. Just take a few instances of this name. First of all, different that name that was given. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. No, different is not that name great. Exceeding soul. That by that name he saves sinners. He saves the vilest of sinners. Oh, remember that soul. The most wretched, the most forlorn, the most depraved, the most that are far off, by that name, he saves such. His name is great in Israel. And surely that name, amongst this, when we have this term Israel now, we are going back to that time when Jacob was given the name. His name was changed when he wrestled with the angel. There Jacob knew something of God's great blessing. He blessed him there. Oh, dear friend, what a blessing it is when this name is made known and forgiving his people. But then too, we read of that sermon of the apostles in the early Acts. God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Oh, how great that name is. When things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth will all bow unto that name. But oh, dear soul, has that name been made great to you when you've bowed before it? You see, it will be when we come in that great way. Oh, how great that name is then. Again, when we think of that name, before whom every knee shall bow. I think I'm confusing. I think that word of those that bow before that name is found actually in the book of the Philippians. But in the Acts, the early Acts, if I can find it, I think it was in the 4th chapter. We are told this as the apostles were speaking. Here it is. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, there's the greatness of that name. There's none other. There's no other entrance into heaven but by that name. There's no receiving of blessings but by that name. And when we think of that very name, dear friend, remember what the Lord himself has declared of his name. Verily I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Dear friend, there's the greatness of that name. When a poor, weak, helpless sinner asks in that name and then receives the blessing he seeks, the help he needs. Oh, how great that name is. His name shall be great in Israel. Oh, different, when we think of the greatness of this name, it's the efficacy of this name. Oh, there's never no other name like it. And whatever name you take of him, we can't list all those many names of him tonight. But different, the efficacy of them. His name is like ointment poured forth. There's the efficacy. That's when the virgins love him and they run after him. Oh, for that measure of faith in that name of Jesus. To come there. Oh, see here what God has declared. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. Now, if you follow on through this chapter, there the Lord speaks of how he is known in Judah. He breaks the arrow and the bow of the enemy. He lays that shield and sword down. He is more glorious than all the mountains of prey. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a dead, deep sleep. So you see, dear friend, by this very great one, the enemies are destroyed, and his people, they're preserved and kept. Oh, indeed, he is great. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. We've been singing so much of that name this evening in those hymns of Mr. Gadsby. But that one you just finished seemed to have some very beautiful thoughts in it. His name as Jesus suits them well. He saves from sin, wrath, law, and hell, from guilt and slavish fears. His name is wonderful indeed, an able counselor to plead. Just suits a case like theirs. Oh, different, that's what these souls will find. Those in Judah, those in Israel, his name will suit them so well. Let us continue by singing hymn number 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the burden, the sinner's burden to remove. Hymn 949. pray that thou wouldst now bless the word of God, forgiving all thou hast seen amiss in all our worship. Take us now on to our homes in peace, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.